on this program. You can call me just about anything. My name's Rick Sutley. I'm an Elkie. And glad you're here, Angel. As they say, you're probably the most important person in this room tonight. I don't know if anything I'll say will help you to stay sober another day, but I hope so. One of the most common things we do is read How It Works. And it is, without a doubt, very blunt. They don't monkey around with fine words. They rarely have we seen a person fail. They ask us to do these steps. And I've been trying to get through them again. And each time I'm doing this, it's waking up stuff, the memories and thoughts, and how badly I worked step 8 in the beginning. I wasn't even close, but that's where I was at that moment. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And in the book it talks about how we need to look backwards at our life. And we already did that to a great degree in the 4th and 5th. But they're asking quite a bit in step 8. Seems like I say that every week. But if this is, you know, if you want to stay sober, this is the method that seems to work. And I'm still very powerless over alcohol, and my life's unmanageable. But I normally don't get arrested today, so things are good. My wife doesn't have to come bail me out of jail in the middle of the night. It talks about human relations. We learn a lot about ourselves when we come to a meeting. A discussion meeting or a lead meeting. What we talk about before and after the meeting, all those are, we don't realize how therapeutic this stuff is for us. I was just talking about how important the spoken word is, because we can drive ourselves nuts when we're thinking and thinking and thinking. It's when I stop that and I call my sponsor and I say it out loud that, oh yeah. I wasn't that far off track, you know. But they're asking us to look back and where have we been at fault? My first attempt at step 8 was pretty weak. I can assure you of that. I probably didn't have the honesty or the knowledge of what it was I was looking back on. Like a lot of folks, I never thought I harmed anybody. I shouldn't say a lot of folks. Yeah. I had to be taught what kind of harm we do one another. The things we say, how we say it, the things we do, our attitude, our selfishness and self-centeredness I was clueless about the extent of what I was going to do in the eighth step, moving on to the ninth. I made the best effort I could, but the good thing is you can work these steps over and over. And when you sponsor somebody, that's like an automatic. You're going to go through them again. And step eight, it says that when we look back, we try and see what character flaws that we can identify, that we did or were like that. And once you know what your difficulties are, your character defects, it's then that you can start working on them. I didn't know that in my first year of sobriety. I just kind of did a shaky list of people, and my wife, my child, family members, friends, I had a few left. And when we're getting ready to do this, whoever we're going to make an amend to, we have to think of not about what they did, it's about what we did and how that affects them. You know, if I steal $5 off the bar, you know, he's probably got more. I never did that. It was always a 10 or nothing. But I harmed that person. Financially, I harmed him. Mentally, he's going, where the hell's my money? I was terrible. That's why I'm here. The experience of getting sober and honestly and truthfully starting to look at myself, it was a bad picture. And with encouragement from a sponsor and going to a lot of step meetings, I started to learn that, like it also says in How It Works, we are not saints. No one among us is that good. And we have to be aware of that we're not so hard on ourselves that we beat ourselves down. Because we can do that. And when you're making a list, it's right there in front of you. But also, we should be trying to forgive those other folks for whatever their behavior may have been. Most people, probably when I affected them, they reacted in a way that was probably about the same. But I'm not here to talk about them in that respect. It's about forgiving them. And in the 12 and 12, it talks about how when we finally get to the part where we're more honestly looking at ourselves, that we can identify the things that were not so good with us. And we got a preview in the fourth and fifth. Thought we were done, and then we go back, we got to do again. And I think there's probably these guys, Bill and Bob, the way they approach this, I know they used a little bit of this and a little bit of that to throw, I say that, throw this program together. It was, you know, a miracle. A miracle that they wrote a book that is so readable today. When I first got in, I couldn't understand some words, and I kept having to go back and forth because I was so confused. And when you get up to the eighth step, you say, well, you know, after this, I'm going to have to approach somebody. And you never know what's going to happen when you try and make an amend, make an apology, pay off your debt. There's a lot of things that we need to do when we're getting sober. But for sure, there's logical thinking in the steps. Admitting you're powerless, God's in charge. People of much better character than I have been doing this for decades, centuries, looking at themselves, making a confession of sorts to what it is that's wrong with them. And that's what we have been doing leading up to this step. And when we see ourselves, how we've, I wouldn't even say treated people, mistreated people, that we can start looking at how we can improve those areas so that we can be a better service, not just to the people in AA, but the whole world, people we run into. I picked out this one reading from As Bill Sees It, and it's Companion and Partner. Dr. Bob was my constant companion and partner in the great AA adventure. As the physician and great human being that he was, he chose work with others as his prime AA vocation and achieved a record which in quantity and quality none will ever surpass. Assisted by incomparable Sister Ignatia at St. Thomas Hospital in Akron, without charge, medically treated and spiritually infused 5,000 sufferers. In all the stress and strain of AA's pioneering time, no hard word ever passed between us. For this, I can thankfully say that the credit was all his. That's a pretty high bar. I can honestly tell you that the sponsor I have now for like 29 years, we've never had an argument, a disagreement that got loud. He might have told me things I really didn't want to hear, but I got used to that with my first sponsor. You know, they tell you stuff. I tell people stuff. There's a lot of stuff flying around. And this is such a, well, as he called it, a great adventure. You know, when I walked through those doors, I didn't think this was no great adventure. I thought this was a terror ride. And people are saying, you just crossed the threshold to the greatest thing that's ever going to happen to you. Yeah. And they said a lot of other one-liners that I wasn't fully able to comprehend. It took a while. And stumbling over my words here. The fact that we get sober and we want to stay sober, we need to do certain things. We know we're not going to do any of them perfect. We know we're going to come up short of what we're shooting for, and we find out that that's acceptable. If you're putting the effort in, if you're showing up, if you're asking questions, you know, you're off to a great start. Which has nothing to do with step eight. But it was the lead up to it. Out of the daily reflections, have you ever thought the harm you did a business associate or perhaps a family member was so slight that it really didn't deserve an apology because they probably wouldn't remember it anyway? If that person and the wrong done to him keeps coming to mind time and again, causing an uneasy or perhaps guilty feeling, then I put that person's name at the top of my amends list and become willing to make a sincere apology, knowing I will feel calm and relaxed about that person once this very important part of my recovery is accomplished. We're faced with, all through the steps, these challenges that they're asking us to do more and more. But if you were as big a drunk as I was, desperate, when I walked through those doors, I didn't realize it, but that was a good mindset. Being desperate is really great for new people. Because you ask more questions, you'll be inquisitive, you'll read the books, because you don't want to go back to what you just left. And this is just part of what we do to stay sober and have that sense of peace that has eluded us for many, many a year. I know that it's hard to talk about the eighth without talking about the ninth, but this is, I forget what they call it, quite a task. This is a very large order asking us to look at ourselves and see what kind of problems we had, how we treated people, and put them on a list and be prepared to move forward with what you know is the next step. But they really describe it in pretty stark terms about how they are striving for. We're striving to become better people, not so obnoxious, not so rude, and learning how to live in the greatest peace, partnership, and brotherhood with all men and women of whatever description is a moving and fascinating adventure. Well, that's one way of saying it. You may well describe it much differently. This is a very tall order. This is a very large order. And because you've already done some work. You know you had some stuff on your list, and I wish my sponsor wouldn't have burned that list so I could have worked off of it to work on 8, but it's still work I had to do. And I wasn't able to look at myself in a way that said, oh yeah, you were really something. I did not know that I harmed people just by being drunk all the time, just worrying about me. I was not friendly to a lot of people. I was crude, rude, obnoxious, and I only cared about one thing. When am I getting out of work, and where's the next beer? This is quite a jump up from just not drinking. This for asking you to look at yourself so you can become one with each other. And it's amazing what happens when you stick your hand out or get a hug or a smile or someone holds the door for you. And you never know. You never know what you're going to say that may help somebody not drink tonight. Once my sponsor got that into my head, it was a lot easier to listen to each and every person as it went around the room. Not just trying to figure out what I'm going to say, and when it's my turn, this is what I'm going to say, and I missed everything you guys had just talked about. So I wasn't able to really learn. And once he told me, I said, I don't know how he knows that, but... And I really made an effort, and I still do, to give everybody the respect that they deserve. Human beings. And I never know who God's going to use to help me stay sober today. And what little star is going to be put out there. Some people won't see it, and some others will. It could be just a tiny thing. But I know that the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous is a great place to learn how to become neighborly, enjoy the fellowship. You know, not just, okay, prayer's over, we're out the door. To get to know people a little bit so they can get to know you. And that's what a home group is for, I believe, also. That group can really get to know you. Likewise, you get to know them. And when you walk in the door and you got that sad look on your face, people say, uh-oh, what's wrong? What's up? And that's what we do for one another. I would never go out of my way to help somebody if they had a frown on their face. It never even came up. And that's how inhuman I was as I was finishing up my drinking. I wasn't always that bad, but I got that way. And I stayed that way until the day it was my turn to check in, to come here. And I never knew all these really hard sounding steps. There was a method to them that they wrote one hell of a program of recovery. and really assure us that if we follow this path, we're going to be okay. None of us work it perfectly. We don't understand it in the beginning. We just do it, you know? So when I was talking about the fourth step, why did I do the fourth step? Because my sponsor told me to. We become a little more obedient because we don't want to go back to where we were. None of us walked in here because our life was going great. So I think I'll check out AA. It's just not that way. And the tools they give us are for not only amongst ourselves, but for the world. There's a lot of people that in a day we bump into, stand behind a checkout line and maybe make a little conversation. I can much better do that today. See a cute little kid, you know, wow. Cute little kid. That's a prop. But the realization that I was so self-centered, didn't even realize I was crushing other people in my life. Just running right over them. It was always what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it, giving directions to everybody to, you know, stay in line, live life like this. And to realize those things, I got some work to do. But what I found is there's this power that helps us to accomplish these things. We need to trust. We need to have faith. And then these faith without works is dead. We need action. And that's what these steps are about. You don't even have to agree with them. You could hate them, but do them. That's what they told me. It's not for you to understand the step. It's for you to do. And that's as good as they could have expected in my first year, you know. I was clumsy with AA talk. I just didn't know the lingo. I started learning it, and we talk in a little different way than most groups that get together. I guess the best thing I can say is that God has given me the ability to get to step 8, even though I didn't want to do the 4th and I didn't want to do the 5th and on. Here was another one placed, you know, you're done with the 7th step, it's time to get that pencil and paper out again. Always demanding. But they were doing it because they loved me. I didn't know that they loved me. It's just like the very first time I ever told Jim B., my sponsor, that I loved him. And there was a moment where I felt a bit uncomfortable. And that's me, you know? Maybe you guys say it easily. I'm much more comfortable saying that today. I'm much more agreeable with my wife. Is that it? Wrap up? Yeah, there it goes. But anyway, this has been a great pleasure for me to be able to do this. And I don't know if anybody learned anything about the eighth step, but Alcoholics Anonymous works. And me standing there with a long period of sobriety is proof. And I'm not here, I don't want to do this, you know. I do this willingly. That's what we do. We learn how to be open. We can't save our best secrets for ourselves. We have to give all our secrets out, all our little tricks. Like, if you don't take the first drink, you won't get drunk. Hey, 6 months, the light went on. I was so thrilled. And I think that's an indicator. We learn in steps, different levels we get to of understanding and kind of seeing what's happening here. We don't learn it all at once, but we can sure be quick forgetters. Staying active is a way to really get her done. And thanks, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Rick. All right, this is the Q&A portion of the meeting. Are there any questions relating to the topic? Step 8. Angel. Okay.
Angel Alcoholic.
Hi, Angel.
You said that sometimes we hurt people without even knowing it. So how are we supposed to put them on our list if we don't know it?
Good. That's a good question. That's why we do those inventories. That's why we do those lists. And then we do them again, because in the beginning we're just not thinking well. We're not honest enough with ourselves to really see. It's a bit of a process. And a sponsor will surely nudge you, as they do, in the right direction. Nobody, this isn't easy. This is a lifelong task to try and be peaceful and harmonious with everybody. There's a whole world out there that's pretty chaotic. I'm glad you're here, Angel. Thanks for the question.
Hi, I'm Bridget. I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Bridget.
And kind of going along with what Angel had asked, I was going to ask you, Rick. You implied this, and kind of stated it again, that when we do our fourth step, it might be a good idea to keep that work so that we can build on it in our eighth step and recall who we had a resentment towards and maybe remember what we did back to them. And then maybe we need to apologize for it. And I wondered if that's something that you would recommend, that perhaps someone keep them as opposed to the dramatic burning of the fourth step.
I totally agree that it would be easier to keep that list. But I was so damn thrilled to be done with step 5 that when he pulled out a great big ashtray from under his seat and got his Bic out, I thought that was like AA tradition. And I was like, poof, there it goes.
Yeah.
You know, when I got to step 8, I wasn't so pleased.
What I'm also hearing you, though, do you think that it's possible that there's different ways then to go about this? That perhaps you could burn your fourth step and just try to recall for your eighth step, and maybe it's better because is it not true that in the big book, it doesn't really say exactly how you do that, that you have to save your four-step, that you have to burn your four-step, just you have to do your four-step, and that you have to then make amendments, make your amends to others in the eighth step. Would that be true?
Oh, we all work a bit different program. Our minds are funny places. And our sponsors are different. You know, we learn from the people that we're hanging around with the most. And so there's obviously many ways to work these steps. We're so prideful that we need our bubble burst. And sometimes we're so low that we need lifted up. You can't talk to both those people the same way. At least that's what I heard. Thanks, Bridget.
Thanks. Anyone else? Okay.
Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks, Rick. I appreciate it again. Another nice job on another step. When you go over this list on your eighth step, and I don't know if you've had this experience, but is there people who you've put on this list that you may not really owe an amends to? You just kind of like to kind of look them up? As far as, you know, someone on your step would say, I think I need to make an amends to this person, and maybe you really don't need to make an amends. Sometimes maybe an amends is stay the hell away, or
well,
it really doesn't need to be an amends.
No, but by us making that effort, if that we think we did something to that person, then that's bothering us. It ain't bothering them. They may not even know. Like, they don't even know you did them harm. But it's the effort. It's the walking up and saying, you know, I did this, and I said this about you. And they'll go, what? What are you talking about? That's not the case with everybody.
Right.
But that's the majority of what I have gotten when I talk to people. Everyone is just a bit different, and I say that nicely. My sponsor says, and no offense to nuts, AA has a wrench for every nut, and you can take that any way you want. I didn't know that I was mentally defective when I got here. And when you eventually learn that, the reality is something to take your breath away. Something that may slow down your progress in the steps, because they ask a lot. But the rewards are so great, the hard work is worth it. I guess that's... If I would have skimped, I did skimp. But later I learned, I got a lot more to do here. And there's nothing wrong with going back over. Your memory, all of a sudden something pops back in there. What do? You know, it's ignored. No, that's... We find that's not what we do. Thanks, Kevin.
Anybody else have any questions? Okay, I guess that's it. Thanks.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is there any announcements from membership?